Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 126. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning, Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing good, but this Pamela and Skype, boy, they're really fighting us this morning, aren't they?
Yeah. We always seem to have some problems, but we're working them out and ready to do a great show, I hope.
Absolutely. I'm all bubbly now, ready to go.
Yeah, I can smell the turkey already.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have an Irish coffee this morning. What about you? And I don't even drink coffee, but I need to get a buzz going here.
Nah, I just got just the caffeine going at mine.
Okie dokie. So you want to get on to a little bit of news this week, then?
Sure, we can cover some high points from what's going on down there in the land of the mouse. Let's see here. In the Magic Kingdom, Be Our Guest restaurant soon to offer breakfast. Did you see this posting at all, Doug?
Yeah, I seen a little about it. I mean, that restaurant's going to be open 24 hours a day before you know it.
Yeah, as popular as it is, I mean, people seem to like it, and there's lines, and you need a Fast Pass Plus just to eat there. So I guess this is a good thing. It'll get more people access to the restaurant, and you know, breakfast offerings in general in the Magic Kingdom are a welcome sight, I guess, because you know, the more the merrier there. There's not too many other than Crystal Palace and, you know, the castle itself. So this will be a great addition, I think.
Well, that's the reason why I think they decided to offer breakfast here, because with Cinderella's Royal Table being closed down and the character meal being outside the park now over at they moved it over to the Grand Floridian, correct? We just covered that last week.
Yep, temporarily. You are correct.
Yes. So I'm thinking, being they moved it over there, they need another spot to have breakfast in the park, because most people that aren't like Disney savvy they're a little nervous to go to different hotels. They don't know how to get around the park as it is, let alone going from hotel to hotel. Do you think that is a good reason?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, like you said, the you know, once in a lifetime visitor or somebody that's never been there, they have no comprehension that it's fairly easy to get to the Contemporary, the Pali, or the Grand Flow right from Magic Kingdom Park. So I think you're right that they wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah, I even think, like, the casual guests, like we're the crazy, we're in the Disney, we salute the cult, Disney, we're crazy, you know, we drink the Kool-Aid.
Right.
I even think the people that go every couple years, every 2 or 3 years, that go down, love it, but they're not as into it as what we are. They have their little routine, and I don't think they really know how to maneuver around the park as much, because they don't pay attention as much as we do. Do you agree with that, too?
Yeah, I do. And again, you know, most people that go there, you know, once in a while or whatever, they're just focused on the quote-unquote theme parks, and they're not, you know, and even I did it earlier in my Disney career, if you will. You know, you focus on the parks, but it takes several trips before you start to delve into the secondary attractions and secondary, you know, or even hotel hopping.
Or also a will to know. Like, I want to know everything going on in every nook and cranny down there, and so do you. But some people are just like, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going down. I stay at Caribbean Beach every trip, and I'm happy with that. And they have the routine, and they don't really worry about going to other hotels or care to.
Right.
You know, so, and there's nothing wrong with that. In some ways, I wish I didn't have the addiction that bad.
Yeah,
but I do.
Yeah, because you end up worrying about more stuff, and you got to get over here and get over there. When you're right, I remember when we first started going down, I mean, we did for the most part fly by the seat of our pants. I mean, we had our, you know, hotel reservation, but, you know, other than a couple ADRs or whatever, we really didn't do a whole lot of planning, and Fast Pass wasn't even a thing then, and you didn't worry about all that stuff.
Exactly. Like me, if they change the doorknobs at the Grand Floridian, I want to know about it. What kind are they? Are they brass? Are they gold? What? Do they have a Mickey head on them? I mean, you want to know. It's how we are. We can't get enough of it.
Right. We want to know what color paint is. The color is changing, too, and all that.
Absolutely. Like when they did the People Mover.
Right.
Did you see the color? Did you see what they did at that? It's like, that's the addiction. Now, if I went to the guys that I know on the construction site to go down there all the time and started talking to them about their changing the color at Epcot, they'd say, shut up,
right.
Davis. Get back to work.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, all right,
yeah, moving right along here, and I'll take a credit for this. I told you so. Out this week in the news is information about the International Flower and Garden Festival. I told you they'd start talking about that soon, and here we are a week later, and they're talking about it. But let's see.
Let me guess. Frozen's going to be part of it.
Yeah. How did you guess?
I just off the top of my head.
Yeah. You can pretty much insert that comment in anything we talk about, and you would be correct.
Do you want to build a bunny? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. You said Olaf and an Easter basket.
Exactly.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, basically, the Food and Wine Festival has just wrapped up, and they're already talking about Epcot's other big seasonal event, the Flower and Garden Festival.
They could talk about flowers and springs and gardens as much as they want, especially as cold as it's been here the last week.
As it's getting colder, and the poor folks up in Buffalo are getting buried in snow, and to any of our listeners up there, we hope you made it okay and things are starting to calm down up there because you guys really got dumped on the last couple of days.
Absolutely. I hope Olaf comes up there and helps you guys. You know, you even need Sven and the rain. You need the reindeer to help pull you poor people out.
That's just crazy. But
it is.
Anyways, next year, 2015, spring of 2015, the Flower and Garden Festival will take place from March 4th to May 17th. And the festival will be 75 days long, and this is the 22nd festival. So, I'm happy to hear about this. I know you and I have gone back and forth, and we've both been multiple times during this time of the year, and it is truly beautiful. And if you do go in early spring or early in the festival,
weather's perfect.
Weather is perfect, and it's great getting out of the Northeast, coming out of probably a long, cold, snowy winter, and getting some early spring, I guess. It's still a little cool down there, but after being up in the Northeast, like I said, even 50s and 60s sound great that time of year.
Oh, there's nothing like. It was the first trip we went down was in April of 97, and I still remember hitting south of the border, and we had all of our clothes packed up, and we stopped at that rat trap, no pun intended. I know everybody has stopped there. If they put as much money into the places they did the signs on the way down 95, they could have built Disney World in South Carolina, the idiot.
Yeah. No, that is too bad because you're right. I mean, that has the potential to, you know, it could really be not a tourist destination, but a place that almost everybody that's going to Disney World that's heading south on 95 there would stop at and spend some money. I mean, I did years ago as it was, as nasty as that place was, but if they really fixed it up and renovated and made it, I don't know how to say it. Just like a dirty place, I guess, is the way I say it.
The truck stops are 10 times cleaner than that place on the way down. I got a creamer. The first time we stopped there, we had all of our luggage packed in the back of the SUV, and we got out, and it was very warm. It was so nice, and my wife needed a T-shirt, so we bought her a T-shirt, and we still have South of the Border T-shirt. But that everybody stops there once and never goes back, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
But I actually got the Kramer hot dog there. Do you remember Seinfeld where he bought the hot dog at the movie theater?
I do.
Because he didn't want Lloyd to think he was going nuts?
I do.
Yeah, well, I got the same exact hot dog at South of the Border. We ordered a hot dog, and I got it out to the car and looked at that thing, and I just couldn't eat it, man. It looked like it was built – they put it on in the 70s, and I just bought it in 97.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point too, Doug. I mean, everybody stops there at least once, and then you can tell the newbies from the seasoned travelers because they will go a couple exits down and go to one of the truck stops or a place that's a little cleaner. I mean, I just remember the bathrooms in there just being like, oh, my goodness.
Horrible. Yeah. The rest stops are gorgeous. Like, me and my father – taught me that as being a truck driver. He said the rest stops in each of the states are cleaner than any gas station, any McDonald's, any restaurant. Go to the rest stops because there's always somebody there on duty cleaning them. And I never thought that. You always thought the opposite, and it's the absolute truth. And the other thing that makes me mad about Pedro is he makes the first half of the trip longer because the miles are constantly in your face. 360 miles to south of the border, 358 miles to the south of the border.
Right.
It's the whole way down. Once you pass him, it seems like the trip flies.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to be able to, you know, go 20 miles and be daydreaming or listening to a podcast or talking without, you know, being, you know.
Inundated
right,
with south of the
right.
sign.
Yeah.
There's a million of them.
Exactly. That's 60, or I think they started 100 miles out or something like that. But you're right. It takes forever because it is in your face every mile and even less than every mile at some points when you really start getting close.
Absolutely. I still have the hot dog. What I did is I laminated it, and I use it for a bully club when I walk my dog every night to protect me.
Yeah, that place is crazy. Yeah, I never really felt safe walking around there, too. I mean, there's, you know, obviously a lot of tourists there, but still, the place is a little sketchy, if you ask me.
No, but the point was, on the drive down in the springtime, when you start hitting the southern states, it's so nice. It's like the perfect warmth. You put the window down, it's in the mid-70s, and after being frozen in the 30s all winter, it's nice when you start getting in the Florida area.
Yeah, yeah.
And that humidity isn't bad yet either, you know what I mean?
And it is kind of funny because you see all the tourists, you know, they get the sweatpants on and, you know, mm-hmm. you can tell without even seeing their license plate, you can tell they're from up north, you know, and it's...
Absolutely.
Like you said, you start peeling off layers as you go more and more south and, you know, there's kind of a smell in the air and, you know, you're heading to Disney World. That is a fun... fun mindset to be in, I guess, as you get through the Carolinas and then down into Georgia. You know you're heading south to warmer temperatures and close to the mouse.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anyway, so how we got on that from the food and
we were talking about warm, buddy. That's how this show rolls. Give me another Irish coffee, please.
Right.
Less coffee, more Irish.
Now, let's see if I can say this without butchering it. For the first time, Anna and Elsa will appear in topiary form. The frozen topiary vignette at World Showcase Plaza will pop with color as Anna's and Elsa's icy world, illustrated with white and silver blooms of Delaria. I can't even say that. I don't even know what those flowers are. Flowers and other floral varieties. Transforms to a brilliant spring palette featuring
Gerber daisies, go ahead.
Sweet William and other flora. So a fancy way to say they'll be in topiary form with flowers all over them.
There you go.
And then
we love the way you read the news, Dennis.
Yeah,
come on, buddy. That elegant Bostonian accent.
Yeah,
come on.
I just don't know what they mean. And then I'll spare you the rest of this. The rest of the stuff, the goofy toperies and a lot of the stuff that we've seen year after year. Although I'm sure they'll change some of them up. But my general takeaway from this article is just that, they're promoting their next big festival down there. And, it gets us through the winter here planning and thinking about Flower and Garden this spring.
It's going to be Herondale in the spring is what it's going to be.
There you go. Let's see. Holiday decorations are now up at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I don't know if you saw those, Doug, but looks like the typical fair there as far as holiday decorations go.
Yeah, but they're cool. They have all the different animals. It's a different kind of decoration. It's a more, more rustic kind of look, if you know what I'm saying. It's more... It looks like it's more handmade kind of ornaments around the parks is what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah, like wooden carvings and different things, African-themed decorations.
Yeah.
They're very beautiful, but you're right. It's certainly not a traditional Christmas tree as you'd think of it, but cool nevertheless.
It fits the whole genre of the Animal Kingdom. It's gorgeous. We've seen it, and it looks like, you know, how back in the day when – people used to put popcorn around the tree and stuff like that as their garland and stuff. The Animal Kingdom has that, you know, going for it. It's kind of inspired from the African and animals and what the whole park is about. It's totally different than the other parks, and that's what I like about
it. Yeah, and it should be. I mean, you wouldn't want to see necessarily the same thing over and over at each park and each resort, so it is cool that they kind of theme the decorations and the trees to wherever they're putting them.
Yeah, with the lion head ornaments and the different animal ornaments, it's really nice. It's cool. And the way they have each of the stores decorated, they're decorated different but the same. You know what I mean? It has the holiday spirit with a little of the Animal Kingdom flair to it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Another piece of news here, and this one very interesting. The Comedy Warehouse returns to the Disney's Hollywood Studios for the 2014 holidays. Look for the shows to begin around December 21st and run until January 4th, 2015. So kind of interesting that they're bringing something back from the Pleasure Island area to the studios for at least a couple of weeks here anyways.
It's funny. They always bring back the Comedy Warehouse. This is like the second or third time they've done this. I know the fans of the Adventurers Club wish they'd bring that there.
Yeah,
but
I think they'd be afraid to do that because it would only start up all that hullabaloo again and people wouldn't want it to go away. So
Congaloosh, buddy, Congaloosh.
I think they're just saying we're not gonna kick that beehive right now and sticking with the Comedy Warehouse. But glad to see something. Again, it's different, you know, a new offering, if you will.
Studios could use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything they can put in there while all this stuff is shut down is a good thing, I guess. Let's see here. Our favorite, one of our favorite restaurants, I should say, Spice Road Table, transitions from walk-up only to reservation system. So it sounds like to me that when we had that faux pas there with the saying that they didn't take the Disney dining plan, I guess that was a precursor to this, that they are going on. I think you even said that, Doug, that it sounds like they're going to start taking reservations, and as usual, or as mostly, you were correct.
Absolutely. I'm just kidding.
Like,
but absolutely. But the thing I did say, though, was I think the reason why it isn't as crowded as what other restaurants are is because people can't make ADRs there, and it has to hurt because you're worried about when you're making your ADRs, and if you know like we do and most of the people we book for, that's their number one thing. They want to make their reservations. And they'd rather make a reservation and make sure they have a place to eat that night than count on walking up at this place, because most people don't know Disney, like we were saying, when they're making them
right
as good as we do, and they're worried about getting a spot to eat at, if that makes sense to you. I think it will pick up big time now that they take reservations.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm happy for the restaurant for all the reasons we mentioned when we did our special Spice Road Table review, because I want it to be there and I want it to be successful. But on the other hand, it may take away from our ability to just walk up. And
that's what my wife said. Yeah. The next time we go, she's going to be mad at me and you because she ain't going to be able to get a seat and get her hummus and spicy garlic.
Yeah. So it's a double-edged sword there. Be careful what you ask for because you just might get it, and it looks like this is going to happen. But no, that's all good because even if I have to, you know, do an ADR or, you know, wait for a while or, you know, for a table to open up, I'll be glad to do it knowing that the place is busy, it's profitable, and that the, you know, the cast members are, you know, making a living, if you will. So that's all good as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, they're wonderful there, and it's a perfect place, in my opinion, to make an ADR for Illuminations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure that now that you say that, you won't be able to just walk in, is my guess, because those 8 p.m. reservations, ADRs, I should say, are definitely going to be a prime, well, it's a prime viewing area for Illumination. So just like at Rose and Crown and some of the other restaurants around that have outdoor seating, people are going to scoop them right up, I would guess.
Well, when Spice Road Tables sends a thank you card, just send it to WDW Main Street, because, you know, we know Disney listened to us, and this is the reason why the mad rush has come for you guys. But believe me, your food is that good, and we were so glad to send people your way.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's why they did it.
Yeah, the powers that be were definitely listening to our show.
Right. So that's great news, and I'm glad to hear that's happening.
Oh, I love the food there. We don't want that restaurant going anywhere.
No, absolutely. New concept art revealed details of the Africa Marketplace expansion coming to Harambe at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And I think you mentioned this last show, or maybe off the air. I called you up and told you about it.
Right. We were talking off air.
Yeah, could you speak about this or your understanding of what exactly this means? Because this is somewhat new news to me.
Well, what they're doing is they're going to double, like, basically, the way it's looking to me, it's going to be like three times the size of the Harambe Village here, because there's been complaints over the years that that whole area leading into Kilimanjaro Safari and all is way too congested. And you know, when it gets crowded, that's one of the most congested areas. Plus the walkway from Africa to Asia. So all that's going to be expanded. There's going to be more shops. There's going to be another restaurant. It's really going to add to the area. And I think they're gearing up because once Avatar Land comes, this park's really going to be packed. Because there's even rumors as we're on it that they're going to be adding a second restaurant to Discovery Island next to Pete Safari.
Right, right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's almost like a bottleneck when you're on your way to Kilimanjaro Safaris. I mean, it just throttles the crowd right down there. And I'm looking at a picture here at the Africa Marketplace concept art, and you're right. It looks like they're going to expand backwards, so there'll be more. Let's see what it says here. The new area called Africa Marketplace will open in spring of 2015, including new merchandise locations, a new quick-service restaurant, a new walkway, as you said, linking Africa to Asia. Combined with the new Harambe Theater District area, the new additions will be more than double the size of Africa.
Because the area, you know, because it's going to be doubled. Like, you've seen the new area there where the Lion King and all is, right?
I haven't seen it in person, but I've seen pictures of it.
It's really beautiful. What happens is when you walk over the bridge where you're headed towards Kilimanjaro Safari, mm-hmm. where, you know, they have the market, the restaurant and all there, well, there's a side road now that leads you back, and the Lion King's actually behind the whole restaurant area and all there.
Oh, okay.
And it's really beautiful. It's really it made congestion a little less there, but when Lion King's coming in and out, it does bottleneck up again.
Right, right. No, this is great news for the Animal Kingdom, and like you said, Doug, with the Avatar Land a couple years out, you know, it's good to see that they're starting to do some of these other things to support, I'm assuming, the many, many, many more guests that are going to be visiting Animal Kingdom on a regular basis. So, you know, if they just started opening up these things without thinking about restaurants and shops and walkways and, you know, areas for people to negotiate the park, it would be a traffic jam, if you will. So this is great planning.
That's my only negative against the Animal Kingdom. That's my only. I love everything about the Animal Kingdom. I mean, the only things I would change is, you also know, too, when you're walking through the marketplace there to and from Expedition Everest, it's really, really crowded.
Right, right.
And the park with the heat and everything else, I think that's one of the other – I think that's the other reason why it makes it so hot, because everybody's so congested with each other. I think that's why we all love – World Showcase and Epcot so much, too, because you never feel crowded at Epcot, do you?
No, I mean, you know, occasionally it'll get, you know, people from, you know, shoulder to shoulder. But I know what you mean. Generally speaking, you have enough open space where you get some air. And, you know, even when it's hot, you don't feel stifled, I guess.
Yeah, with all the trees and everything else, with the way the paths are, there's a lot, like, from Asia to Africa on a bad day is ridiculous going back and forth. Especially the other problem you had with all the kiosks there selling the pizza and the hamburgers and all right there.
Right.
So you'd have lines coming outwards with people trying to walk around you while you're in line for food.
Right, right.
Or drink mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's really bad. But that way back and forth, and like I said, the area around Expedition Everest over the bridge there to Nemo, that whole area there is very, very congested. At times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like I said, it looks like they have a firm plan in mind to alleviate some of those bottlenecks, and that's all good.
Absolutely. I'm happy. I mean, there's stuff going on everywhere, Dan. 5 years from now, we're not even going to recognize the park the way they used to be.
It's kind of exciting, though. Not in a way. It is exciting that, you know, our favorite place down there is getting all these new things and new construction, and it's going to be awesome to, you know, make trips there to Walt Disney World over the next handful of years.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see all this stuff. I'm gonna be like a kid in a candy store the next 5 years. Even though a lot of people we listen to want to go back to paper tickets, but that's another story for another person.
Right, right. Progress. We must move forward.
Exactly.
Let's see. Just a mention here: the Siestas Cantina at the Disney's Coronado Springs Resort will now offer breakfast, and this is the Siesta Cantina pool bar at Disney's Colorado Springs. So, our good friend Bob from All in WDW and Mrs. All in WDW will be happy that they're one of their favorite places down there will be providing breakfast now.
Well, maybe they can get breakfast before they go to Lunavar to have some lunch.
There you go. That might work.
There you go.
Let's see here. I'm skipping over some things. But the demolition permit was filed for the removal of the Sorcerer Mickey hat at Disney's Hollywood Studios. That's not new news, other than it was going to happen shortly after the
removed and not demolished.
Yeah, that's an interesting way they put it, using the word demolition, but I guess that's the official name of the permit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the only way. It's removal, so it's demolition.
They don't distinguish between...
No. Right. But I'm just saying, I was just making a point. I hope it's removed and not demolished.
Well, time will tell, but we haven't heard anything about that other than it's being removed, but we shall see. Anyways, let's see here. Pretty much that's it. They're offering some shopping discounts with quick service dining throughout the Walt Disney World parks. All four parks are offering a 20% merchandise discount for dining at certain restaurants. So they usually do this every year, I'm pretty sure. Let's see what it says here.
It's been the last few years. Give our listeners, what's the dates? Does it have the dates listed?
Yeah, it must have. It does here. Let me just read the thing. By dining at one of the participating restaurants, you will receive a coupon attached to the bottom of your receipt. The discount is available from November 18th to January 5th, available only from store opening until 1 p.m. And the list of participating locations, Flame Tree Barbecue, Kusafuri Bakery, Pizzafari, Restaurantosaurus, Tamu, Shops, Island Mercantile, Disney Outfitters, then over at the studios, you got the Commissary, Backlot, Catalina Eddie's, Fairfax Fair, Pizza Planet, Rosie's Red Hot, Starring Rolls, Studio Catering Company, and the two shops at that park, Mickey's of Hollywood, Keystone Clothiers. Over at Epcot, Electric Umbrella, Fountain View, Liberty Inn, Sunshine Seasons, Yorkshire Country Fish Shop, and the shop there, Mouse Gear. Over at the Magic Kingdom, Casey's Corner, Columbia Harbor House, Cosmic Rays, Main Street Bakery, Pecos Bills, Pinocchio Village House, Tomorrowland Terrace, and then at the Emporium, and then Downtown Disney World at Disney. And I've participated in this before, and basically the thing here is they're just trying to get guests to spend money before 1 o'clock, when typically the retail locations are rather slow or slower than they are later on in the day or at night. So if you're going to pick up gifts or stuff to bring home or what have you, if you're not an annual pass holder or a DVC member, you can take advantage of that and get 20% off your purchase.
I think it also, in my opinion, just gets people in the parks earlier so they have more time to spend money.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that's the goal of the Disney company, no doubt about that. And I just want to mention this. There are a number of exclusions to this program, but they include alcohol, tobacco, Disney ticket media, periodicals, postage stamps, digital and video cameras, DVDs, CDs, Disney dollars, and memory maker. So you cannot purchase or any of those items or programs and get the 20% discount, but everything else is eligible.
It sounds good. More frozen stuff will be bought.
Exactly. Did you have any news items, Doug?
Nah, that's it for me, Dan. You covered everything.
All right, good stuff.
I picked on you as much as possible with the reading. You did a good job, Dan.
Wouldn't be a show without it.
Our faux pas.
Yes.
So we're going to do a little fun thing here to end this show today. First of all, what I'll do, then, is I'm going to read a listener's email.
Okay.
And we'll answer the email. And then me and Dennis are going to do the first thing you think of. It's a new little thing we're going to do on the show. We'll see how you guys like it. But me and Dennis are going to each name five things throughout the Disney World Resort. And we got to tell each other the first thing we think of when we name one of these five things. So our first email, Dennis, is from Tina Figerio from Myrtle Beach. And her question is first of all, she wants to know for her husband and her kid, a 13-year-old daughter, do we think the park hopper is worth it?
Personally, yes, I think the park hopper is worth it. Well, I'm sure she didn't say how long they're going to be there, but I'm a firm believer in spending the extra money to have the park hopping availability
privileges.
Yeah, better way to say it. Only because you can get more done in a given day, and given the fact that their daughter's 13, I'm guessing she's going to want to go on a lot of the e-ticket attractions, which they're sprinkled all amongst the four major theme parks. So having the ability to park hop may allow them to, use their Fast Pass Pluses at a particular park, use them all up for the day, and then go to another park and maybe do standby or whatever. But I'm a firm believer in park hopping, so I would say yes, go for the park hoppers.
Well, we've never not had the park hopper because we like the freedom of going back and forth whenever we want to, because we change our plans all the time down there. We'll change the flow of our trip a lot of times. The thing I would say is if you don't go a lot and you plan on – if you think you'll be at that park all day, then fine, save the money. But one of the other things you got to worry about – they're going down in the spring, but they didn't give me their exact date.
Right.
The thing you got to worry about is if there's something like we've been talking about on the show, for example, with the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. If you're down there at that time of the year and you don't have park hopper and you don't do the party, you're out of the park at 7 o'clock and you can't do anything else.
Right.
So if there's something going on, special events and stuff like that, if you're going down during one of the holidays or if there's special events going on, you might be shut out at one of the parks and not be able to. So that's where it's worth it to me. So you're not secluded from anything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Doug. And, the only other thing I would say, because I've done both over the years, we just do the park hoppers, but it's one of those things, if you've never had it, you probably don't miss it. I mean, we've planned our days where, we said, hey, we're doing Epcot today from start to finish, and we'll book an ADR, and we plan on seeing Illuminations, and we know that we love Soaring and Test Track, and we get our Fast Pass Pluses, and if we have more time, we'll do some of the second tier attractions, or depending on how big the crowds are, we might do hop in line standby if Soarin's under 60 minutes or whatever, do that. And I'm there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that. But then again, there's been times where we've done Epcot for three quarters of the day or whatever, and maybe wanted to see Wishes or something at night, and we jump on the monorail and pop over to the Magic Kingdom. So, there's two sides to that coin. There's no right or wrong answer. It's all in what your preference is.
Yeah, well, my last trip, the only time we didn't use our Fast Pass The only time we didn't use our park hopper was the very first day. And that was because Magic Kingdom had exited Magic Hours, and we went during the day because we always usually go to Magic Kingdom first. It's tradition. And then that night was the only night that they had extra Magic Hours, and I didn't have a Fast Pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Right.
So that was the reason why we did. That's the only reason why we stayed at one park all day. The rest of the week, we were the other 5 days, we were at one park in the morning and another one every night. We ended up almost every night at Epcot.
Right. Not a bad plan.
So. And then she wants to know, she has 1 day left on her ADRs. What restaurant would you recommend, then, or me, in the Epcot area?
Let's see. In the Epcot area or in Epcot?
In Epcot itself, I think, with her and her kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know where you're going to go, so I'm going to pick something different. well, again, we've been hopping on Spice Road Table, so that wouldn't be a bad option. If you want to hear what kind of food they have, you can. If you haven't heard our special show, you can go back a couple shows and listen. But that wouldn't be bad. And if you're doing, they said it's an evening ADR, Doug. Is that what she said?
Yeah, dinner? They want to do an evening ADR.
Yeah, I mean, just like we just said, if you're going to be there in the evening, if you try to book something 8 p.m. or later, if you can, and at one of the restaurants that have outdoor seating, Spice Road Table is a good option. And I'll leave your choice to you. You can speak to it. But there's a couple restaurants around the World Showcase Lagoon that are perfect for this, for an evening ADR with great food and great viewing locations for illuminations. Where would you send her, Doug?
I mean, Spice Row would be awesome, and you couldn't go wrong there because the prices are perfect. Or you can go over to my place at Rose and Crown Pub and try to do the same thing for illuminations. I mean, if your daughter likes, you know, Mexican, you go St. Angelo's Inn because that's also beautiful inside.
Right.
I don't know, you know. I mean, Tutu Italia is very nice. I like it, but I think it's overpriced for me. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Italian restaurants in Epcot, and I don't go there as much as I think I should, or that I intend to, I guess, is what I want to say, because there's so many other good options. But, you know, and I would also say don't get too stressed out about getting one of the restaurants that have outdoor seating, because they don't guarantee it. You can't book that when you book your ADR, and it's first come, first serve, and you have to ask and kind of have a little bit of luck to get one of those tables. I mean, even if you ended up not getting an outside seating area, I mean, there's plenty of room around World Showcase. You're always going to have a good viewing spot for illumination. So it's just kind of a cherry on the top if you can get one of those restaurants and one of those tables. But if you can't, no worries. There's plenty of viewing areas to see illuminations.
So I hope we helped you, but yeah, you can't go wrong with any of them. I mean, yeah, we can always fall back to Le Cellier, but that's pricey with three people depending on what your budget is. I think you could have just as good of a time at Rose and Crown or Spice Road Tables as you can Le Cellier, if you count the money as a you know what I'm saying? If you put the money into the whole deal,
right.
I think those two are worth more.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And, you know, to your point about Le Cellier, I mean, there's great viewing for illuminations right up in the Canadian Pavilion up top there. You can kind of see over the you know, over the road that goes around the World Showcase there. So you're kind of up a little higher and people aren't in your way. So that's a great choice as well.
Well, I hope we helped you with that one, Tim, or Tina, I'm sorry. My next one is from Amanda Carroll from the United Kingdom. She said, loving the podcast. We were up to show 123 Spice Road Tables.
Nice.
We'll be on our list when we do when we have our one day next year of food and wine.
Make sure you book an ADR.
Yes, exactly. So, and she thanked Doug and Dennis. She said, my question is there anywhere we can see Wishes without going into the park? Contemporary question mark. I know the Poly is a no-go for us. So do you have any suggestions then for them to see the Wishes without going to the Contemporary, other than the Contemporary?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Contemporary proper. I mean, if you have an ADR at California Grill, they pipe the music in there and you can see it out the window. Or you can go out to the observation deck outside, and with the California Grill, even if you finish your dinner and you're done and you've already left the restaurant, if you will, they will give you a receipt or a ticket of some sort, and you can come back and they'll allow you back up the elevator to go out to the observation deck. So say you ate at 5 or 6 o'clock and then whatever, you went to the outer rim or you went shopping downstairs or whatever, you would be allowed back up there. So you can see Wishes from there. You can also see it from Bay Lake Tower if you're a DVC member or if you know a DVC member. I think a DVC member can bring up to 6 guests with him or her, and they have the Top of the World Lounge up there at the Bay Lake Tower, and that's also same deal there. They pipe the music in, so if it's windy or cool or raining, or well, I guess if it's raining, they wouldn't be having the fireworks, but you can certainly see show from there, and it's a great view. You're way up high and you can look down and see the fireworks and all that good stuff. So those are two locations I know of.
What about the beach over? Is there anywhere over at the Grand Floridian that you could go see it on the beach there?
Yeah, I believe, although I've never watched them from here, I think.
Me neither. That's why I was asking you.
I think at Narcosis, there's a patio out back that goes out on the water, and I believe I have heard people say that you can see some of them. It isn't, obviously, you're not head on like you would be at the Poly or, right on the side like you would be at the Contemporary. But I think, yes, Doug, to answer your question, that you do have some viewing opportunity there at the Grand Floridian, although probably third on my list of where I would go
Absolutely.
To watch them, but it's still someplace you might consider.
And the other option you could have if monetary isn't a problem, if you have a group of users or something, maybe you can rent a pontoon boat and go right out on the lake there and watch it.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can rent the I don't know if it's the pontoon. Yeah, I guess it is the pontoon boats. But yeah, you can bring two or four or six people, or if you have some couples or kids or whatever, and they have all kinds of packages where you can take the boat out there, and they pretty much line you up with the ferry dock, which is, looking right down Main Street, if you will, and you have a great view there. So that's, again, if money is no object, that's a good choice for you as well.
And as we talked on last show with Mike and all, it's really not that pricey if you really think about it for the entertainment that you get out of it. So it's another option. It's less than paying to go in the park, depending on the size of your family.
Yeah. Certainly
for the extra day.
Yeah.
And then she has one more question here. She wants to know, I also want to book an ADR for a meal somewhere for my husband and I, thinking Animal Kingdom Resort. Can you recommend?
Okay. I'm going to go with, to me, you can't go wrong with either one, but GECO or, what's the other one?
Well, you have GECO, you have Sinai, which is over at the
Kidani Village.
Kidani Village.
Right. I can't
so,
think of
yeah,
it.
And then you have Boma.
Yeah, Boma or GECO. I mean, Boma is the kind of the buffet-style restaurant, I believe, and GECO's high-end, but the fine dining one. And if it's a special celebration with just you and your husband, you probably GECO would be the way to go. I mean, I've never eaten there, but anybody that I've ever talked to that has eaten there has done nothing but say how great that place is. So I'd choose GECO. If it was me, I would book at GECO.
I have been there, so I can say it's absolutely awesome. I love the whole atmosphere of it. The fire roasted ovens, the ovens that they have like pizza ovens there that you can see the chefs cooking. Mm-hmm. The food is out of this world. The spices are perfect. It's not spicy. There's a difference between the two. And the different African spices and all they use, the restaurant is out of this world. I would actually put it in the top of all the restaurants in the resort. I mean, it's just going over there, if you're staying at the resort, the times we stayed there, we had to eat there.
Right.
Now, driving across over to it, for me, usually you're at the park, so you don't want to waste the time to go there. But for me, if you're going to the Animal Kingdom, you have to eat at GECO. It's in top five for me in the entire Walt Disney World property.
Yeah, and I think, Doug, you're right. I mean, whenever you talk, dining establishments at Walt Disney World, GECO usually is in everyone's top three. So it's
it's awesome.
Yeah. So that, I think we agree that she should book an ADR at GECO.
Absolutely. Sinai is beautiful. It sits right there you can see out into the safari. But I would book that more for a lunch myself. It's an awesome lunch. But GECO for a romantic dinner with your husband, you cannot go wrong. And we want to thank Amanda and Tina for your emails. And we will read some more. We're going to start reading some more on shows more frequently. So thanks, guys, for your emails, and we hope we helped you. So you ready for our next segment, then?
Sure. Let's go for it.
Okay. What we're going to do is it's going to be the first thing you think of. Me and Dennis are going to rapid-fire five different things from around the Walt Disney World property, and we're going to say the first thing we think of when we mention that.
Wow, that's scary. Rapid-fire. I don't think we can do that, but we'll try it.
Well, rapid-fire for us is less than 20
minutes.
Oh,
okay. All right.
So I'm going to hit you first, Dennis.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with your home.
All right.
Saratoga Springs.
I think of horses. I think of upstate New York. I think of my little piece of the pie that I own. It's a home resort for us as DVC members. And, you know, although not the same, like we always talk about Riverside being our home and our first stays at Disney World, which I still hold that near and dear to my heart. But Saratoga Springs, since we've been DVC members, it is like home to us now. And I know it gets a lot of negative publicity. It's a large resort, blah, blah, blah. But I think that just the sheer numbers of times that we've stayed there, we're comfortable there. And with all the happenings at Disney Springs down there, we're really excited to be owners there because we think we're going to be – that Saratoga Springs is quickly going to become a destination resort. And it's going to grow in popularity, and people are going to want to be there. So it's all good. But definitely that's what comes to mind when you say that to me.
To wrap it up, we'll say it's an underrated resort, in your opinion.
Yeah.
And in mine, too.
Yeah. That gets, yes, that would be a very good way to put it, Doug.
So.
All right. I'm going to hit you with a maybe easy one, but what comes to your mind when I say monorail?
Oh, Disney World, classic. It's like you must do the monorail every time you go, every time, or at least you have to do it once in your lifetime, because it. I think of Walt Disney. When you say the monorail, I think of Walt Disney as innovation.
Yeah, yeah, it's a classic, no doubt. On my last trip, I just got out of the Magic Kingdom, and I walked out of the turnstiles there, and as on the way to the buses, there's a bunch of benches there, and I happened to just I was kind of tired. I walked from the back of the park, so I sat on one of those benches, and it was right underneath the monorail beam. And I just remember just, you know, looking up and as the monorails would come by and watching the tires go on the concrete track there. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, man, I kind of take this for granted. I mean, here's this, you know, mechanical achievement, if you will. And you know, I'm so used to seeing it, I kind of just take it for granted. And, you know, it just it's pretty awesome seeing that just go overhead and, you know. And you're right. I totally agree with you. It just reminds me of classic Walt Disney, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, all that stuff. And, again, if you go to Disney World, like Doug said, it's an attraction in itself. You have to go on it, even if you just end up right back where you started. Just to go around the loop or over to Epcot and back is a great way to spend some time, and you'll really enjoy it.
It's an attraction.
Absolutely.
And it's a free one. The thing that cracks me up is with my wife. She laughs at me all the time. I know she does. Every time we're in Epcot and it goes by, I have to point at it. Look. It's like, okay, I know it's the monorail, but it like just puts a smile on my face every time it goes by, and I have to look at it. Like, no matter what I'm doing, I'm like the idiot looking at his phone walking into you.
Right.
When the monorail goes by, I lose all focus and I just see the monorail. It's like I get that tunnel vision on the monorail.
Right. I mean, how cool is it? And again, we take it for granted when the monorail goes inside of the Contemporary Resort. I mean, that's just amazing. And again, we do it so much, or at least I do, that, you know, I almost just don't even recognize it as, you know, but it's pretty cool that, you know, you come on a concrete beam, if you will, and you're pretty high up when you enter the Contemporary there. And, you know, next thing you know, you're in the lobby of the Contemporary. How cool is that?
Oh, it's awesome. It's one of a kind, man, in my opinion. I mean, there's many out there, especially over in Europe and all, but to us, it's our special Walt Disney thing.
Absolutely.
So number two for you, Dan, real quick, Columbia Harbor House.
Oh, what do I think of? I think of the tuna sandwich there. That's what comes to mind because I get that most of the time when I go there. But great quick service dining. I eat there a lot when I'm at the Magic Kingdom. Varied restaurant, but just comfort food, just kind of a comfortable place. I eat there so much, it just good memories there. So that's what comes to my mind.
And me and my wife, I'll give you a quick one with me. It's I think of the chocolate cake there. Me and her love to go in, and we, for some reason, the chocolate cake tastes better there than anywhere else on property. We always share one after. It's our little thing. We always share one, and we look out the window at the Haunted Mansion, and it don't get much better than that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a little tradition you have, and, you know, that's neat. But, yeah, that's a great location.
So mine would be chocolate cake.
Awesome. All right, Doug, number two for you. What do you think of when I say to you World Showcase?
Ooh, that's a big one. I think of the friendship boats going through the middle of it, my dream of one day working on one.
Okay.
It's just that simple. I just love watching them boats go across the lagoon.
So when you say work on them, would you want to be driving it or maintaining it or both?
Like I told you, I've said it a million times, I could be Gilligan. I just tie the boat up every day, man, and greet the guests. That's my dream. I have the boat. I have my boat license and the whole nine yards, but if they don't want me being captain, I'll be Gilligan.
You'll be a swabby.
I don't care, man. I just wear my and I know I'd look good in them white shorts.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not even fronting. I would look good in them shorts.
Okay, good answer.
Next one for you, Den. Okay. The People Mover.
When I add People Mover. Favorite attraction in the Magic Kingdom. I've said this before. Not the most thrilling, but my favorite attraction. When I just want to get off my feet for, I say, a half hour, 45 minutes, because in the last 5 years, I'm going to say, I don't think I've ever ridden it just once around. I've gone at least twice, and a couple of times, I think I've even gone three times. The only time I won't do that, though, is when there's a line, out of respect for people that are waiting. I won't ask, even though I bet you they'd still let me do it. You know, I won't do it because people are waiting, but most of the time there's not a wait there. But, favorite Magic Kingdom attraction for me.
To me, it's just slow and cool sums it up. It just, I love the ride. It slows down the pace and the beauty of the lights. I think of the neon lights around Tomorrowland.
There's just something about it. And what I've done lately, especially when I'm on a solo trip, I love closing my eyes when I'm on it and just listen to all the audio. And you know, I've been on it so many times, I know right where everything is and even the dark parts. And, you know, I don't know. It's just something different to do. And I just can hear that spiel in my mind. And just very relaxing to me.
So hit me with your next one, buddy.
All right, let's see here, Doug. What comes to mind when I say to you, Streetmosphere?
Well, it's the last trip. I think of my sister-in-law flirting with the cowboy.
Okay.
No, it's just fun. It's just a good time. I just think of those. I just love the whole concept of it. Those people, they all seem like they're having the time of their life when they're doing it.
Right.
So I give the cast members credit. They really do a great job. It's funny. It's good, clean fun. And you can pull up a bench, grab an ice cream, and listen to them when they're doing it. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just chime in with my two cents here. I mean, I think that's kind of the thing that sets it apart from many other theme parks in the world, the Disney theme parks. To me, that's what makes Disney. Those spontaneous, although some of them are planned, but a lot of them are spontaneous. Just little skits and things that they do and the interaction with the guests. And, you know, they always seem to pick on somebody that either doesn't want to do it or isn't comfortable, and they kind of bring them out of their
shell.
Yeah, and that's always fun to see. I mean, it's almost more fun watching the poor man or woman that's, you know, being asked these questions or asked to stand somewhere and hold something. I mean, it's just funny or fun just seeing them, you know, be nervous and all that stuff. So I've just always loved the Streetmosphere characters. There's just so many of them across property, and they do an awesome job. And, you know, I hope Disney keeps them in, you know, for forever, for that matter. I know that
they'll be wearing Star Wars garb soon.
Hey, whatever. As long as they do some skits out there, I'll be happy.
Oh, yeah. I remember the very first time we seen them was they had the – when we first walked into studios, it was the whole director with the the megaphone, you know, and the whole nine yards with the little chairs, you know, the director's chair and the whole nine yards. They were yelling to get his chair set up, and it was funny. The one girl's voice, though, after a while, hello! Okay, enough of you. I got to move on now. You're killing me.
And I just love the way they, you know, if you've ever seen them kind of start a skit, it often, you know, you don't know it's coming, and they'll come out onto the street and maybe slam a chair down or something, make a loud noise. And, of course, your reaction is to look around and see what's going on. And it takes you a few minutes or seconds maybe to kind of get a handle on, gee, what's going on here? Is something right? You know, it's just they have some clever ways of announcing their presence, I guess, is what I want to say.
Absolutely. My next one for you, Dan, is Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth. Obviously, Epcot icon. Many people call it the big golf ball, which drives me crazy. But again,
poor.
Yeah. classic Disney. I mean, we all know what's inside there, and you can see it from almost all over property. It's it draws you into the park, and it's just again an amazing architectural building, if you will, if that's what you want to call it. I mean, to have that there is just an amazing achievement. And, I don't go on it all the time, but not because I don't like it. I do. I love it. It's just that sometimes time doesn't permit. But, classic Epcot, classic Disney. Love it. Can't say enough.
I can honestly say I've never not gone on that one time. Every single trip I've ever been there, it's tradition for me.
That's awesome.
Pirates of the Caribbean and Spaceship Earth, great movie ride, and Tough to Be a Bug is the first time I didn't get to go on that this past trip. There are the four. I got to do each one of them every single time I go.
Right, but it wasn't your fault. It wasn't open, right?
No, I tried to break in because I didn't want to lose tradition. I was beating on them. They ended up shooting some pesticide at me and got rid of me. But no, I just love... those four are my four staples I have to go on every single time. Each park, that's the one I got to go on each park.
No, it's a good
thing. But Spaceship Earth, for me, the first thing I think about is they put my paperboy in the corner, and I don't like it. I don't like that he's stuck back in the corner saying, read all about it. He was the coolest thing, and now they got him in the corner like he's in trouble or something.
Right, right.
All right, hit me with your next one.
What do you think of when I say Disney collectibles? And that can be whatever you want it to be.
Well, mine would be hats. I mean, I collect a hat every time I go there. I have multiples most times. That's my collectible. I know that's not what most people collect, mm-hmm. but every single time I go down there, I have to get a hat to remember my trip. And I got lucky this time. Even after my trip, my buddy sent me a Rose and Crown hat to add to the collection. But that's mine. I know you collect Vinyl Nation, but mine are the hats. And then the other thing is the hit it, like I said, the hats, because that was the first thing. But like the things we talked about with them little pins that we got for the animal, the animal collection to help with saving the animals, where you bought the ones at Riverside and the different the conservation pins.
Right, right.
Stuff like that are my main collectibles. We don't really buy a lot. Mm-hmm. But the hats are my number one thing.
No, nothing wrong with that. There's a collectible for everybody, and whether it's a hat, a pin, or a vinyl mansion, whatever, that's why they have all that stuff there. So that's fine. I mean, over the years, I've collected pins and, like I said, vinyl mansion. I mean, I collect theme park, not napkins, but like beer coasters and different free things, menus that you can get. I mean, I even, and I'm looking at right here when I was on my last trip, I got a drink at the Contemporary, and the cherry in the drink came on those little like toothpick things I used to have years ago. But it's a plastic cutout of the Contemporary Resort, so it's pretty cool. So, I collect little things like that. There are things you can collect that are don't cost anything, free. Like you said, are free. So whether it's a $500 watch on Main Street if you collect watches, or if it's a napkin that says Walt Disney World on it, there's something for everyone.
You know the first thing I do when I check into the room? Look for the pen.
Yeah, look for the pen, exactly.
The Walt Disney World pen. That's the first thing I take, and I work with that at work until it runs out of ink.
Yeah, I got so many of those, it's not even funny, but that's why it costs so much. We're all taking the pens and the soap and the shampoo.
The tablets have gotten thinner and thinner over the years, haven't they?
I know.
But that's it. I just love that stupid thing, like grabbing that pen puts a smile on this man's face.
Hey, it's the little things.
My last one for you is the back lot area.
I think of a desert. Nothing. what it is and what it will be, I guess. Now, the back lot area, I mean – I don't particularly like the lights, motors, action, attraction, so I tend not to spend a whole lot of time over there. So I don't know. I would say I think of unutilized area of the park or not utilized properly, and I know that's going to change, so these comments won't be applicable, but never really spent a whole lot of time over that section of the park, to be honest with you.
Well, mine would be, and hopes and dreams would be what it's going to be. I'm looking forward to Star Wars Land,
right,
and Pixar Place. It's blank canvas would come to my mind immediately.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Dreams.
Yep.
You know, a whole new Disney dream. Give me your last one, buddy.
Last one is a simple one, and you can go in many different
simple
directions.
Simple one for a simple man.
when I say water, what do you think of? As a
oh, I think of the Sascoola.
Nice.
My favorite piece of water in the whole park, man. Put me on one of those boats up and down that river, and I could cruise all day.
No,
the Sascoola River is the first thing I think of. I think of that whole, my riverside resort, just standing there looking at that river. It's heaven to me.
I got to agree with you. That's one of my favorite bodies of water, if you will, river / water or whatever. But
period for me, number one.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many places where water plays a big part in the look and the ambiance of the park or the resort. I mean, there's water features everywhere. So, like I said, you can go in any direction there. But the Sascoola is a great choice.
Yep, that would be me, buddy. Just thinking of the water wheel running through the river there and the boats going up and down, heaven.
Awesome.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this little segment. We're going to do this more often. It just makes us talk about things off the cuff that neither one of us know. We don't talk before the show. It's just something to bring up conversation where we could talk about all different things, and neither one of us will know what we're going to say. And hopefully you guys played along at home. That's why we did it, because I know if I was in the car and you said to me, Spaceship Earth, I'd be rattling in Brenda's ear about what I was thinking.
Right, and that's a good point. If any of the listeners out there would like to submit some ideas for us or words or whatever, please do. And what's our email address, Doug?
wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. You can go to our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories, and you can get the email address right there, but it's wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome.
So, we hope you guys enjoyed this week's show. We would love you to come over to our website and follow our sponsors if you can. Please give us a review on iTunes. The more reviews on iTunes, the better our search engine will be. We really, really appreciate a review, guys. It's all we ask for. Just give us a review, please. And that's going to be it for this week, Dan. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's good. Heading into Thanksgiving here, and everything's good. I'm all set.
All right, buddy. You guys have a great week, and we will talk to you real soon. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at wdwmainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.